Please be seated. Usually when you become a priest, you become late to the story of somebody's life. And I was late to the story of Helen's life. I only met her last year. I had the distinct privilege of visiting her and her at the home at the Mackenzie, first Wednesday of the month, and celebrating a Mass with her and the rest of the Victorians or Mackenzieites. And it was a lovely group of ladies, and it was a lovely thing because on so many levels, even though they were unable sometimes to come to church, the church was there with them, and it had many of the trappings of the church life that Helen enjoyed so much. Even when it comes down to the parking lot problems, as all the walkers were parked just outside of the chapel, and there was the mad rush after the final blessing to, you know, say goodbye to Father, take your walker, and then somehow navigate the parking lot on your way out. And that was a beautiful thing to kind of watch, to see that although life changes, it doesn't end. That there's these different dynamics of life that have their consistency, but the hard part is finding the new in the old and the old in the new. It's a very difficult thing to navigate in human life as such. And what Christ offered Helen in her lifetime visibly in this world is the hope that life does not end in death. And this is the faith that she continues to witness and to testify to even on this very day. So many things aren't worth her time to plan, but this is. Everything down to who does what and when and what time. I didn't know her levels of organizational capacity, so I'm happy to have heard that at the very beginning to see that this is important to her. That being able to give witness to the fact that the resurrection has power for her is something that as a priest I find incredibly consoling. So even if I've only known her for a few months and I dare not enter into the company of intimacy that is present here, I still feel privileged to be able to say, I knew her. My life has been enriched because of her. And that life has a new characteristic to it. And this is one of the beauty things about her funeral happening this Easter season. Because another element that I only learned about her life today is that she was an avid gardener, as evidenced by the insistence on beautiful flowers in the sanctuary, for which the parish is also very thankful for. But you notice, and you might not have noticed this, but one of the most important elements of the resurrection stories is that the resurrection happens in a garden situation. That humanity is at, in a sense, its most beautiful and glorious in the midst of a natural world that humanity has been able to show, in a certain sense, an additional amount of beauty. It's a symbol of humanity's stewardship over nature and the fact that if humanity is doing its job right, creation is more beautiful as a result of this presence than there was before. But it does have to go through a long process of real deepening and encounter of new life. So today's first reading doesn't just happen in a vacuum. What happens in this particular passage is the Christian church is in its very beginnings. Christ has risen, he sent his apostles out, and they're all Jewish, and so in their mind that they have to go to family. They've got to take care of family. But then Peter has this vision, this encounter, where the angel of the Lord tells him, nope, you're going to go and visit the house of a non-Jew. And he's like, I don't know if I can do that. And the angel basically slaps him. Well, it doesn't really slap him upside the head, but the feeling is like that. He gets slapped upside the head three times and told, you will go and you will speak to them and you will get to know them. And what happens is that Peter has this encounter where he sees not just that he believes, but he sees the Spirit of God working in these strangers. And what happens to him is that he says, truly I see now that God has no partiality, but that all those who come to him and do what he commands are acceptable to him. And so it shatters their world and they realize that their family is far too small. Now, it's an interesting thing about holiness and life is that the people that live holiness make the mysteries of the faith more and more visible. And if there is something about Helen's life that makes this mystery more and more noticeable is the somewhat loose definition of the tight family that we saw in the first reading. Even though Helen obviously had her kids, her grandkids, and then all the ones that are coming after that, but she had the type of heart that would always want to expand that boundary for others, that always be willing to get another chocolate bar for another strange kid, even the ones that happen to have gone to the store. And it's really quite remarkable to think that if somebody is even able to take and make the workplace, her own workplace, as a place where she's able to bless the lives of others, it's an interesting statement about how God, through people, is able to make all things new. And so in the second reading, we have St. John giving us a great consolation. See what love the Father has given us in letting us be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. But what's also really profound about that statement, and as he goes on, is that what we will be, we don't quite know what that is yet. And this we see in the sadness. Being sad on a day like this is not crazy. It's a blessed thing. Even if somebody goes away on a jet plane, you still cry at the departure gate. You may see them soon, but it's still terrible. It still has that interior pain. And then the question is when will you see them again? We all don't know when we will see her or any of our other loved ones again. We don't know what heaven has in store for us. But we know that it's better than we can ever imagine. For if God gives human beings the power to be able to take a garden and make it into something beautiful, if he is able to be able to take a small garden that a man is buried in and turn it into the new resurrection dawn, then how much more can we hope for someone who longed with all her heart to be near the living God? Jesus says he will never turn away anyone who comes to him. He will never turn away anyone who comes to him. That is a consolation, not just for us, for her, but this would be also Helen's consolation for all of us. When you ran into her praying the rosary, and saw her, she prays the rosary every morning, every day, after coffee. It's a great time to pray, by the way, because usually when I'm praying the rosary, I'm half asleep. So coffee is a really good natural assistance to prayer. But I'll tell you one thing. I guarantee you she was praying for you. And you know what? I don't think she stopped.